The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply. It's better.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a football Friday. It is an F-off Friday. Pink is actually going to join us at 4 today. So we'll have to talk about jealousy a little earlier than when we were planning at 4. But speaking of jealousy, last night, it was tough as a Browns fan watching last night's game, specifically the second half where it broke wide open, to not just be jealous at how poetic both offenses looked in the second half of that Bengals and Ravens game.
Yeah, I mean, Burrow was awesome. Lamar is taking his game to another level.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I almost feel bad for Burrow in the sense that Burrow is now, he's just, the numbers are going to be insane. He kind of reminds me of Deshaun, that final year in Houston when he went 4-12, but threw for 4,800 yards and had 30 plus touchdowns. And it kind of feels like that with Joe Burrow. He's just on such a scorched pace when it comes to like what he's doing with passing yards. Jamar Chase, my goodness, 264 yards. Like, it was just an incredible display. But Lamar being able to take his game to another level is what really stood out. Like, I never had a moment where I looked at Lamar in the pocket and then saw Joe Burrow in the pocket and thought, oh, these guys are the same player. Like, these are the same thing. Lamar's been able to get his game there. It's incredible.
So what's incredible about it to me is 3 years ago when you traded for Deshaun Watson, it felt attainable that you could get a quarterback in that stratosphere because Lamar hadn't got to this level yet. Because Joe Burrow was fantastic, but he was still a young quarterback. And you're like, wow, they're going to massacre him behind that offensive line, which they're still doing. Pittsburgh was in a sea of uncertainty. Now, Lamar and Joe are just two of the best passers in the NFL. They feel unattainable on some level. And then what Russ is doing now, like what Russell Wilson's doing is what Pittsburgh's been missing for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And it's been the thing that's made them not a championship team. So you look around and it's like, well, we got Jameis. Hey, you want to find out what you have in DTR?
One of these things is not like the other.
And I was looking at Joe's numbers. And 2,600 yards this season, 69% completion percentage, 24 touchdowns, 4 INTs.
Yeah, I mean,
and they're 4-6.
He legitimately is having one of the better seasons. He's not going to win the league MVP because you don't win league MVP when your team might inch their way into the postseason. I don't even know if that's a certainty. I'm just enamored with Lamar Jackson right now. Nick, I've never had a moment in the Patrick Mahomes era where I've thought, I think I would take, if you gave me one quarterback for the fate of the universe in a game tomorrow, that answer would be anybody but Patrick Mahomes, but I think that might be where I'm at with Lamar. Now, it sucks that he stinks in the postseason still, and I can't talk about how great he is because in the postseason he just wilts away and it's not the same, but I mean, he's just on another level right now.
That's the rebuttal. The rebuttal no, is, I know.
He's got
I hear
big,
what you're
he's
saying.
He's got a big bugaboo in the postseason, but regular season quarterback, he's as good as the league sees.
Almost 2,700 yards, 24 touchdowns, 2 INTs, and what was so important about last night's game, the whole knock on the Ravens. If you get a lead, Lamar can't pass his way back into it. That's exactly what he did. I mean, they were down 21-7, midway through the third quarter, and they went off on a and Lamar went off on a tangent. And it's so funny because, you know, Cincinnati scores last in that. They have a chance to either kick a field goal to tie the game at 35s or go for two. And they went for two and didn't get it. And all anyone's talking about is not the decision, but everything that happened after it. The decision's kind of an important conversation to have, though. Should you have played for the tie? Should you have played for overtime? Or did they make the right decision trying to win the game right there?
I don't know. Are we lockstep that it was 100% the right call? Because I think it was 100% the right call.
I don't know. It's 100% the right call, but it's a call I would have made.
I mean, if Lamar gets the ball back, Lamar is going to score. If he gets the ball first in overtime, I think we just saw it last week, and I think that's why it's fresh in people's mind. You know, Todd Bowles gets ripped because Baker in overtime doesn't get a chance to get the ball back. They don't go for two against Mahomes. I mean, this just happened last week. Baker doesn't go for two. They play for overtime. Baker never gets the ball. Mahomes gets the win. Yeah, the coin went the right way, as it always does, it seems like, for the Chiefs, but he gets the call. And, I mean, that was it. That's blouses. Which, by the way, I hate that in the NFL rule book. I know.
That's blouses?
No, yeah, I hate it. I mean, we've made adjustments to that you have to score first on the touchdown, and it's much better than what it used to be, but I still hate the idea that you can go to overtime, and then that can just be the game, and you never got the ball back. I hate that.
Give me old college overtime rules. Before they did, like, the third overtime, they do the dumb things. I hate that.
Yeah.
But no, give me the... Each team gets the ball. In the NFL, it'd have to be at like the 50. You couldn't give it to the 20. It'd be too easy. There'd be 75 overtimes. But each team gets the ball at the 50, and whoever scores, doesn't score first, loses. I love that. The shootout style of that. But specific to what you're saying, there was only 33, 34 seconds left in regulation when you scored. And so I understand the point of they're not going to score, and they're not going to win in 30 seconds. Like, as good as the Ravens were in the second half, they're not going to march down the field. And this isn't a Mahomes thing. You gave him 31 seconds too long.
With the idea that if you convert the two there, you win the game.
Yeah. And I think the reason why that matters is the Ravens are the better team. Like,
right.
This is what kills me about it, though. Just one second. What was it last week? Todd Bowles gets killed for playing it safe. And now a week later, it's like Zach Taylor's getting killed for doing the thing that Todd Bowles didn't do. It's like the inconsistency of logic here is what drives me crazy. You and I think, are, if you're the worst team and you're on the road and you've got a chance to end the game with 30 seconds left, you damn do it.
Right, that's why I'm defending Zach Taylor now, and that's why last week I questioned Todd Bowles.
Yeah, and by the way, it might be the thing that people think back to if Bowles doesn't get another season there and they bump somebody else up. I don't think they're going to do it to the OC, that Liam Cohen, but I could totally see that be kind of the decision of, like, that wasn't smart. You played that a specific way, and we lost that game because of you.
And so the defense on that one, and it is a little bit different, the defense on that one was the idea that Mahomes would then be playing with four downs if he got the ball back. And was, if you actually looked at some of the advanced numbers on it like I have, it is closer to a coin flip than a lot of people would suggest. But in my opinion, with last night, when you have Joe Burrow, you go for the two, and you go for the win right there.
Yeah, because I think the people saying just play for the tie – are thinking, well, it's Lamar versus Joe. In overtime, I'll take Joe. I don't think you're watching the NFL anymore.
You're not watching the right game. You're not updated to who Lamar Jackson is right now.
And so I think that puts you in an interesting position kind of going forward. Because here's the other part of this. The only other thing that I've heard about this is, well, if you lose that game in that moment, you go to 4-6 and your season is over. And it's like, okay, same thing happens if you then play for a tie and you lose in overtime. Like, yeah, losing isn't good. That's why you're trying to get the fifth win of the season.
Losing kind of sucks. Yeah.
And so it's, by the way, I don't think their season's over.
No, it doesn't seem like it. They got an easier back half of the schedule as well. It doesn't seem like it is, but it did feel like in the moment, because I think I told you yesterday, Nick, I think I was like, if they lose this game, maybe it was 2 days ago, I'm like, if they lose this game, like, that's not good for them in any stretch of the measure, because you can't fall that far behind. And really, there's no belief in that defense, Nick. There's no belief in that defense. How many games is Burrow going to throw for 450 yards like he's been doing week in, week out, it seems like? But how many days can you keep that going?
So the Bengals head coach, Zach Taylor, after the loss, did explain the decision to go for two.
Came here to win. But we expected to come in here and win, and we did everything we could to do that. Doesn't change the fact that I'm proud. I think everybody on that field fought, gave us a chance. Lost the game on the road to a good team, and it's sickening that this has happened twice to us. That's what it is. We got to find a way to close out these games. You know, we had our opportunity. We got down there, went for two, and just didn't work out for us.
I commend him for not making the obvious excuse on what happened on the 2-point conversion attempt.
I like that he went for it and he put his fate for that game on the line with the idea that, oh, the guy Joe Burrow that took us to a Super Bowl, multiple AFC title games, I'm going to bet on that guy. Like, Nick, if the powers that be that from here were like, all right, Nick, you got one show for the fate of your job. Like,
not,
this is it.
You're not going to go Jameis Eminem reference
you,
here.
You got, no. No, I'm
you
not.
You got one chance.
I don't have it in me. You got one show to prove to us that you're the guy that we want until the end of time. You're going to go ahead and put yourself in the chair, or you're going to go ahead and put some other named host to go ahead and have the ratings for one show. You're going to bet on you.
Mm-hmm.
All day, every day, you're going to bet on you. And that's all he did there. Like, he couldn't risk the idea that you gave Lamar the ball, you lost the coin toss, you gave Lamar the ball, and then you sat there on the sidelines and watched as your wrecked defense, and that's what they are. They're a wrecked defense. Watch Lamar go up and down the field just like he did all the entire fourth quarter, really all night long. And I like the call. To me, it's an easy no-brainer call.
We do have to have the conversation, though, because Joe Burrow should get those calls. If you don't want to call Gesicki getting obviously held.
The 2-point conversion
call? The 2-point conversion. If there are hands to face for a quarterback, there's no excuse today, in today's day and age NFL, with how much they watch the quarterback. Nnamdi Madubuike's hand literally was in his face mask, moving his face, or moving the helmet to one side of his face.
The ball was out of his hand.
Yeah.
I get it. Both things were wrong. Ball was out of his hand. And on the other side of it, what a lot of people wanted was a holding call there. It's away from the play.
Are you talking about the Gesicki one?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. They're penalties.
They are. Like, no, they both are.
Like, I think.
I don't know that they directly impacted the play enough of a way where I'm going to sit here and be like, that cost them the game from that perspective. They should have gotten the calls. I wouldn't have been mad if they got the calls. The ball was out of Burrow's hand.
The other one was away from the play. He was in the motion of throwing.
The ball is gone when he actually gets hit in the helmet.
No, it's literally what's happening is, and we're just seeing this differently.
Obviously, yeah. Like I watched it like 10 times.
The ball flew out of his hand in the direction that it did, which was a little high and way hard. You can throw a little off of a guy's like wide open, Joe, just so you know. You don't have to gun it every single play, but... you can kind of see his body contort as he's throwing. I think it impacted the trajectory of the throw. It also didn't help the guy wasn't fully in the end zone. That was dumb, too.
I just throw to Jamar Chase in that moment.
I don't think he had time. Because to throw back, you need an extra half second to turn your body to throw, and his eye line was already going this way.
And again, I'm not in Joe Burrow's head. I didn't listen afterwards and find out if what he said about whether or not he should have gotten the ball to Jamar Chase in any way, but it's 264 yards in the night. Like, I'm dialing up a play where I can be quick about it and I can get the ball and a chance to Jamar Chase.
See, So I'll agree the ball has to go to Jamar. I think that's on the play caller. Like,
for
what
sure,
are you, what are
for
you
sure.
Thinking?
No, for sure. It is.
Like, how are we?
How do you bet on your guy in such a way and then not have it involve the guy that absolutely wrecked the game the entire night?
I'll tell you exactly how you do it. You overthink it. They're going to expect it goes to Jamar, so we're going to put it to, what, the third-string wide receiver?
Yeah, I mean, that was mind-blowing.
But Joe after the game, because we don't have time to play it, but Joe after the game was like, well, I don't get those calls. And I was like, usually I kind of think you're a salty little bee about it, but this time you might be right. Because any quarterback in the NFL, if a hand is anywhere near your face within 5 seconds of the throw, you're getting that call.
It does kind of feel like, you know how they do in buzzer beaters in the NBA? Basically, you can just assault anybody on those final plays. It just turns out and it is what it is. That's what it kind of felt like to me. And 2-point conversions with the game on the line kind of had that same vibe to it as well.
216-474-0092. JP and I are in lockstep on the decision to go for two for Zach Taylor at the end of that game. End of regulation with 30 seconds to go. Was that the right call? And JP has been out on this. I think I've come up with a way to sell JP on what next year really is. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. I was reminded today that I don't think Browns fans are prepared for the storm that is coming. Because I jokingly threw out when Trevor Lawrence... I think Mac Jones is going to start for the Jags this weekend.
Yeah.
And he might as well be auditioning for the Cleveland Browns and every other team that needs a quarterback this year. And I jokingly kind of put out Mac Jones, future Browns quarterback Mac Jones. And, oh, I hope not. Ew. It was all the sounds. And I was like, man, they really don't know that it's like Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Daniel Jones.
All the Joneses.
Like, I don't know. It reminded me that people really aren't thinking yet about what's after Deshaun Watson. And I don't think that there's... They're not following up Deshaun Watson with Pat Mahomes.
Well, I mean, think about it. I think the past, I don't know, week or so, we've been kind of talking about what is life after Deshaun Watson. We've kind of been going down that road. And it, even between me and you, though, how many times does it turn into a little bit of a Donnybrook? Because it's just so many different... Yeah, every time. It feels like it's just every time we go down that road, because there's so many different paths that you can take it. And so I get it. If you're a fan and you see you throw out Mac Jones... I get how your first instinct is to vomit all over the keyboard, right? Like, that is not enjoyable. There's nothing that we want to see with Mac Jones. There's nothing Mac Jones can tell us. It's disgusting is what it is.
So the reason why I bring this up is, you and I have failed to agree on what the Browns' medicine is, right?
Yeah.
Is this the medicine, or is this and next year the medicine for what has become a gigantic cluster bleep? And you and I are in agreement, though. We don't think that this is a quarterback away, right?
No, they're much more than that.
And so I think that, to me, is like they've been compared to the Broncos, because everyone's like, well, they got rid of Russ and they got Bo Nix, and now all of a sudden they're 5-4 with a chance to go to the playoffs. Yeah, last year was part of their medicine. They won just enough to get away from...
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week, with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Having a top five pick, they ended up with a 12th. I can't remember if they traded up. Well, I think they ended up with the 12th pick, and they took the fifth best quarterback in the draft.
Right. I think they're closer to the Vikings, where the Vikings were already selling pieces. They were getting rid of a lot of pieces. And then when they drafted J.J. McCarthy, and things have just kind of, they just kind of fell into their lap in many sort of ways for this year.
So I think if we're talking about the reality of this roster, which is that all the core pieces not named J.O.K. are late 20s, and a few of them have some real considerable injury issues.
Yeah.
I think we also have to be open to the idea that next year, or this offseason, because I don't think it's just... So it's less that I know definitively they're going to... I was trying to think of, muck it up for Manning. That's not what... or go all in for Aller. Damn near landed the plane. But it's less I know definitively they're going to do that. But I think there are
the
couple.
March for Arch.
Okay.
Not bad,
yeah,
right?
That's good.
Not bad.
Yeah. I think it's, but drop the March for March Arch.
March for Arch?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Now we're cooking with gas.
See?
Now
see?
I think you're on the, now I think you're where I am. Now you're like, okay, go 0-17 next year.
All it took was a fun name. That's it. That's all it
usually
took.
All it takes. But I think one of the other avenues, other than just we're definitively going to take a quarterback in the first round next year, pair him with one of these young guys, and then you're just going to see where it goes from there. I kind of look at, okay, we've talked a lot about bridge quarterback. I think next year is the bridge, because I think if you get a top 10 pick where there isn't a quarterback worthy of being taken, instead of reaching, next year might be the perfect year to say, all right, we need a number one wide receiver. We need to rebuild the defense, and we need to refreshen the offensive line.
Might also need a running back, too, depending on what happens with Nick Chubb in the upcoming weeks.
And so I kind of think you can...
You got a lot of pieces you might need.
Like, I think if you're going to do quarterback and those things, I think that's a lot for any offseason, let alone with Andrew Berry's tenuous drafting. But I think if you go in and say, all right, first rounder, we're going to get the best pass rusher who's there, a Mason Graham of Michigan with the sixth pick. And in that second round pick, we're going to go for the best wide receivers that's there, because that's where T. Higgins was found. You can find a franchise wide receiver, a number one wide receiver there at the back of the first, early second. I think if you come out of that, I think you can sell me on the fact that this offseason might be about trying to make it as good of as hospitable for a young quarterback as possible and bridging to 2026.
Oh, so you do have the young quarterback in there.
No.
We're still in the march for Arch in this scenario.
Yeah. Well, and it's not even about any of those names specifically, because that's where you're right that it's a futile gesture. But I think if you're going to try and bring a young quarterback in, unless it's Jaden Daniels, which it's very tough to find a Jaden Daniels, I think the best thing you can do is make the situation around the quarterback as friendly as possible. And right now, I wouldn't wish this situation on any young quarterback coming out.
Yeah, I just, and listen, you might end up being right with this. And honestly, the more time you give, obviously, then it sets up for better success. If you could just take your pill and go through and erase as much cap as you can, and then eventually get your house in order before you do it. I just look at it from a fan perspective, and that's all I can really judge this as, and I just know that absolutely stinks. And I think you're going to tune a lot of people out for the following season where you tell them, hey, Mac Jones is going to be your quarterback. Bear with us. We got another quarterback coming down the pike in 2026. I think that's a very hard ask for a fan base that you've been asking a lot of for the previous 3 years already.
Yeah, but I think, here's the thing. It's what I think a responsible organization would do. If you're just out here trying to keep our jobs,
I think it'll depend on who we have in the organization. I think if it's still Andrew Berry and company, Nick, I think they're going to be in the hurry up offense.
Yeah, and again, this is where we got back to, all right, we're going to call this out, so if it happens, I can bash him, which is half of what we do. I can see this going there, and I'm just going to say don't. It sucks that fans have to take the medicine with the organization.
That's a lot of years of bad.
I mean, it's 2 years.
No, I'm putting it, I mean, I guess, are you giving us, we had fun with Flacco, but I mean, it's the start of Deshaun Watson on, by the time you got rid of Baker Mayfield, it's a lot of years of we've had very uninspired bad football. I know it goes with the territory, I get that, but like, it's not an easy pill to swallow. It never will be.
I don't understand this revisionist history on Joe Flacco. I think a lot of people had a lot of fun with Joe Flacco.
I didn't say it was a bad time with Joe Flacco.
Well, no, but
my
point is that's not bad football.
No, that was you got five weeks, six weeks.
No, you got an 11-win season. You had a winning record for all of that season. You started strong. I think the closest you came to 500 was one game above 500, and then you went off on the tear in
December.
Yeah,
but we went from Deshaun, and Deshaun had some wins in that season. I'm not saying he didn't. It went down. With the moment that Deshaun had the injury, then we were left in like this limbo territory. I'm not counting that year as like a...
Win?
No, it was a win, but I'm not counting that year as like a... That was the most fun we've ever had and the best time we've ever had and all these other type of things. It was a good time, but like taking that in... I don't know, maybe what, 2 years then? 3 years? Is that what we're talking?
No, I mean, if the counter reset. Like, I think
we're in semantics here. Yeah.
You made the playoffs.
You didn't win a playoff game, but you did make the playoffs.
The counter
reset. Is it reset with the playoffs? Is that what we're doing?
I think so.
Okay, so then we're going through. So 2 years, and you just tell fans to suck it up for basically a year and a half?
No, you lie, because that's what this organization's going to
okay,
do.
Okay.
You're going to polish it.
And tell people that Mac Jones can get us to the playoffs and do everything like that? How big is the lie, is what I'm asking.
I mean, I don't think you mentioned the playoffs. I think we found a quarterback we like. We have to get this team back to where they were 4 years ago.
It'll be obvious to people.
Yeah, but no. You don't have to lie. How many things have been obvious? They told you we think Deshaun Watson has the best chance to win as he was losing, not just him, but as they were losing every single game and things looked more and more bleak every week. Like, that's a bigger lie than the one they're going to tell you going forward. Like, this one is a lie of, hey, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Let's have some fun. Let's see if we can win some football games. And if we don't, there's hope at the end of the rainbow, but we got to get the rest of the roster good enough. That's not, hey, we have to play Deshaun because we have no other recourse. I really think you haven't. I don't think you've come to terms yet with how happy just moving on from Deshaun is going to make some people in this town.
You're right. I haven't. I also didn't reset my counter clearly because I'm looking at. Because if I were to reset my counter, then I've only been disappointed for 8 weeks or whatever this has been now. And I feel like I've been disappointed for way longer than that with this.
I have no idea how you were disappointed. I don't ever remember you being like, this Flacco thing is a flash in the pan.
Oh, but I mean, but it's
this
we
is
knew
no
it wasn't
fun.
We knew it wasn't a deep postseason run. We knew it wasn't sustainable.
No,
we knew there
literally
was nothing,
didn't.
We knew there was nothing to it.
No, I think that's revisionist.
I knew there was nothing to it. No part of me was like, Joe Flacco is going to take this team to the Super Bowl.
I think there was a lot of big hopes for Joe Flacco because he just wasn't Deshaun.
That was built on a house of cards, though. Everyone knew that. And you knew he wasn't going to be able to come back next year. There was no way if you're going forward with Deshaun.
Did we listen to different radio shows?
No,
did we listen
did.
To different
we both
fans?
Did shows at that point. Like, it's not did, like did we listen did. To different things.
I just want to make sure that a year ago, you and I
you
were listening
Flacco
to the same
thought Flacco was
things.
Like the long-term quarterback?
No. But that's we're having different conversations now. A year ago, people were looking at Joe Flacco for that stretch thinking this style of ball, which is move the ball a lot, get into the end zone, that could win them some games.
The style of ball, not Joe Flacco.
Well, yeah, okay. But the point is they put some stock into that. And by the way, I was wrong. They were wrong. I didn't think a Super Bowl. But do I think they could have beaten the Houston Texans? Yeah. Did not see getting spanked on the first game of the playoffs a year ago. Didn't see that one happening. But I think we're onto something here. Because I don't think you've given up hope that this thing can contend. And I think that is exactly how you get wildly disappointed.
Didn't give up hope when with the big contend?
No,
like right
like
now?
Next year. That's not happening.
No.
They might be a competitive team next year. But competitive is window dressing. Competitive is if everything goes right and you're playing a last place schedule.
Okay. Maybe I am living with the idea that if they draft a quarterback, I watch Jaden Daniels be awesome this year and maybe there's still something there. Maybe that's what that is. I don't know. I just don't love the idea of being like, okay, I'm gonna sink next year, and the idea that 2 years from now after that, we have a chance to start to develop a quarterback, and you see how many years away we get from actually having something that's competitive?
What about the development? You just said you get a Jaden Daniels and you start winning.
Yes.
I mean, that's...
I think that's kind of like the... I'm trying to meet you halfway here.
Yeah, but
I'm trying to like concede the idea that maybe I have not given up the idea that this core can be decent. This core is something. Even though in the beginning of the segment, I full-on said, I don't think that this is the team that all of a sudden is a quarterback away. But I watch what Jaden Daniels do. I watch what some of these quarterbacks do. And yeah, there is hope that exists out there. Do I think it's a great plan? No. I think there's no plan we can come up with that is awesome, that is an instant quick fix. This isn't a ramen noodle situation where I'm gonna wait a minute and all of a sudden it's going to be good. Like, it doesn't work that way.
Well, but that's why I think that looking at this core and going, man, this core has gotten older and we have not reinforced that core, and putting a guy who isn't ready to be Jaden Daniels, who you actually do have to develop, a la a Bo Nix, a la a J.J. McCarthy, because those are the other guys in this class, putting the non-Drake Mays, the non-Jaden Daniels, in a situation where the core is old and injured, and you haven't done a good enough job replacing it, I think that's how you ruin a quarterback if there is something to there.
Yes, you could potentially do that, yes.
I think it's the reality. Like, I don't think this team is ready to take eight. When I say a rookie quarterback in a class, and you're right to say you never really know, who knows, somebody pops off, you fall in love with somebody, there's also probably a better chance you talk yourself into it. But
Which is what it seems like they're going
to
do.
I think next year might make more sense to reinforce this core, because when you really start to look at it, it doesn't look great. You do not have enough young guys. You've got a bunch of guys who might be starters. That doesn't make them core. We're talking core players or impact players. There's one guy on this team who I definitively know is a young impact player. It's JOK.
Right. Nobody's arguing with you on that.
I don't know. DeJuan Jones, I don't know. And by the way, beyond those guys, it's a bunch of rotational players until proven otherwise. So I think that's where, and again, I don't know if these guys should be the guys to do it. But I think, like, you're spot on that, man, that sucks.
That's really the whole base of everything. It's just an awful situation and spot to be in.
I think this organization has tried a little too hard to do the shortcuts. And I think that's what the next year and a half is
but
about.
If it's Andrew Berry, they're going to try the shortcuts. I'm not telling you that's like my idea and my great grandiose plan or everything. I'm telling you reality. Reality is they're going to try the shortcuts.
And I'm telling you, and I hear what you're saying.
And you're saying
really
it's going to fail. I get it.
I'm telling you that if that's what I'm hearing, that there's a shortcut here. That to me might be more fireable than almost anything other than the Deshaun Watson trade I've seen in the last 3 years.
That's why they have to make a decision on these guys. That's why they have to figure out ahead of time. Are you going to give them the breath to go ahead and say, we don't see a quarterback in this next year's class. We're going to go for the 2026 class. Or are they going to feel like they're in the hurry up offense to go ahead and fix their job and get this thing headed in the right direction, even if that means taking a shortcut and potentially watching it just go up in flames?
216-474-0092. Couldn't next year be about building the bridge to 2026, meaning could the next year be about rebuilding the Browns core more than it is just about finding a young quarterback to hope, wish, and pray? Can be Jaden Daniels and one NFL coach is challenging a cliche as old as time on 92.3 The Fan. The cliche in the NFL there, JP, is if you win games, you can do roughly whatever you want. And fans are just going to be like, that is the greatest thing in the world. And Eagles coach Nick Sirianni really is destroying that myth, at least in Philadelphia, because they're 6-2 and people are counting the days until they can fire Nick Sirianni.
It is a nice boost for the Lima crowd of coaches don't really matter as much. Is it not?
Yeah, okay. But
I think about how great this roster is, that they're winning in spite of everything that Sirianni is bringing to the table, or lack thereof that he's bringing to the table.
So I don't think they're winning. I think he does do some things. I think the problem is he just sounds like a jughead and
yells at fans, brings his kids to the podium as meat shields.
Yeah, but I think, so it's funny, like some of this, isn't it just Philly? Isn't it just that Philadelphia was like a very clear threat to Kansas City 3 years ago, or 2 years ago, and they haven't been that since. Like, isn't this some of the weaponizing expectations against that team? Like, if you look at the team, it's not as good as it was.
No.
When they were in the Super Bowl three seasons ago.
I think how last year ended, I think, is a big factor in all this, right? They start off the season 10-1, and then they lose every game the rest of the way, including that Tampa Bay game in the postseason where they never stood a chance against Baker. Like, I think how last year ended was such a car wreck, and it was so obviously bad on so many levels that I think then Sirianni has been trying to dig his way out of it. And then this year started off in a very similar way. Like even in that Browns game that he beat us, Nick, the Eagles fans left that game thinking they lost that game with everything that happened and everything that happened around that game. And now it seems like they're starting to win games. Vic Fangio's defense is all of a sudden getting itself together and getting everything in order. And Nick Sirianni is back to a spot where, you know, he feels like a dodo, but they're winning games, so it is what it is.
Well, and the one piece we missed there was Jalen Hurts' development. He's not looked like the guy. Like, 3 years ago, he was a legit NFL MVP candidate.
Yeah.
And he, like, last year was a step back. This year feels like more of the same. And I remember watching him in that Super Bowl 3 years ago thinking, this guy was better than Mahomes in the Super Bowl.
Not even close. He was awesome.
And
like other players wanted to give him the MVP vote for the Super Bowl. That's how good he was.
I kind of think they should have.
Chiefs players were vocal after the game of like, if we had a vote, that's what we would have done.
And so, which then gets into the conversation of, well, is that on Jalen or is that on the coach? But the reason why we bring this up is Nick Sirianni today pulled the all-time Nick Sirianni press conference move because he was asked about some of the injuries going on, and I can't even set this up properly because this is how goofy this gets real quick.
You haven't really seen Jalen be held back for load management before. What was behind that? On Wednesday?
Yeah, you know, he's dealing with it was on the injury report, dealing with the ankle, and you know, just making sure we're precautious with everything.
What's wrong with the ankle?
He wasn't on the ankle.
I'm sorry, Jalen Hurts. It was an ankle hurt.
What's that?
It was the rest.
That was the rest, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
No problem.
I thought you were talking about something else. All right.
Dealing with an ankle problem.
Now rest.
That reporter got so excited. He jumped ahead. Did you hear his voice? He was like, wait. It hurts with an ankle injury?
That was remarkably kind for a pretty brutal Philadelphia media. Like, why didn't they? Whoever gave him the lifeline should be fired immediately. Unless they work for the Eagles. Like, when he went, I thought you were talking about somebody else. Like, when they were, oh, who? Who?
He's that much of an idiot. He might have just really let us know something that we shouldn't have known, though.
I think that's where I am on this.
So you were earlier, like 5 minutes ago, you were talking about how Jalen Hurts' numbers aren't as good, and it's kind of been something a lot of people have been discussing throughout the season. Like, hey, he doesn't look the same, and really since that losing streak last year, hasn't looked the same. But this year in particular, well, maybe that's just the reason why.
So I think so. But I think, well, because then you get, there are some real issues about not putting names on the injured. Like, there are, like,
oh, it's
real things
from against
this.
The rules.
But what makes it so funny is that this Dota was like, oh, it's talking about somebody else. Like, you just don't get to play that card. You just don't.
What do we
it's
have?
Apparent. The guy's got an ankle injury.
We have Shanahan a couple weeks ago that was talking about one of the players, and basically he just completely messed that up as well.
Yep.
Like, when did you find out that you were, oh, well, we knew on Friday McCaffrey wasn't going to play in this game. And it's like, well, wait a second. What happened there?
That was
you knew on Friday? The player, he talked about it after the game. He's like, you knew on Friday? And then he's like, oh, I shouldn't have said that.
So, no, this is just a coach doing it. And now, here's the other thing. Nobody thinks Kyle Shanahan's a dodo.
No.
Everybody thinks Nick Sirianni is a dodo.
And you don't get passes. If you make a dodo move when people think you're a dodo, you don't get passes.
There's no dodo passes out there. Been saying it for a while. Jason Pinkston, former Browns offensive lineman, talks about the 2025 Bridge to Nowhere plan for the Cleveland Browns on 92.3 The Fan. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.